and then probably even tomorrow for the meeting. So I'm also requesting if maybe we can elect the acting chairperson who will also chair the meeting tomorrow. Members will remember that we do have a meeting tomorrow after the sitting at around 5:15. So we are going to elect a chairperson, acting chairperson. The procedure, I will have to explain the procedure. The procedure is that we are going to nominate a member. That member, if the member is nominated and then there's no other nomination, that member will be declared a chairperson. But if there are other nominations, then we're going to vote by a show of hands. I'm going to call for nominations.
Thank you. I nominate Honorable Gaum to be the chairperson today and tomorrow. The acting chairperson.
Okay. Any second? The nominations? Okay. Honorable Gum.
I think it is important to second Honorable Gum.
Okay. Honorable Gum, it's your seat today and tomorrow to chair the committee.
Thank you very much. Does the Honourable De Freitas have something to say?
Sorry, Chair. Now that you're in the Chair, I just wanted to advise I need to leave at 11 because I have an appointment in my office. And then also if I may suggest that we perhaps send a card or something to the Chair just to wish her well on behalf of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm sure that everyone would be agreeable to that suggestion, and you will be excused at 11. I think we will try and see that we move as quickly as we can. May I just, first of all, can we get an indication as to the apologies that we've received for the meeting?
It's only the chairperson and Honorable McIntosh, the rest, or an Honorable Minister, I just said, from Nandipana.
Thank you very much. Secondly, I think as far as the minutes is concerned, can we agree that we that the minutes stand over until our next meeting where the chairperson is back, if that is okay with members? Thank you very much. So today, our main business is the presentation by the Department of Home Affairs to our Committee on the Expenditure as at 31 March 2013. We have a delegation from the department, and maybe I'll just ask once again that the delegation introduce themselves to us, and then we will do the same. The CFO, I suppose, will introduce delegation. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. Apologies from our side from the Director General, he is on leave. Also from the Minister and the Deputy Minister, they are attending the GNA cluster meeting this morning. We are here representing the department. I'll ask the delegates to introduce themselves.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Josephine Meyer, Chief Director for Revenue and Budget for the Department.
Good morning to you all. My name is Patience Tsusa, Director, Monitoring Evaluation. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Mathepo Kanya from Department of Home Affairs, IGR.
much. I am Andre Gaum, a member of the committee, Eddie Matunze, our secretary, and can everyone on their right introduce themselves, please?
Good morning, I'm Adam Salmon. I do research for the committee.
Good morning, I'm Nandiba from the committee section.
Manny De Freitas, member of the committee.
Morning, everyone. My name is Per Peterson, a member in this committee. Thank you.
Morning, I'm Pora Sabon, a member of the portfolio committee.
Malweni Ndingu, Masisole Mngasela, Ilungile committee.
Kidudu Matebe, member of the committee.
Grace Bosman, member of the committee.
Thank you very much. Before I give over to the CFO, as far as the presentation is concerned, I just wanted to remind members that we are having a meeting tomorrow following the plenary on this private member's legislative proposal from Mr. Self. If everyone can just try and really make sure that, number one, you attend, and number two, that we are on time so that we don't have a problem with quorums and stuff like that tomorrow. Thank you very much. The CFO, we give over to you, Ms. Rasi Kinya. Is that correct? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think...
interrupt you to say that, can you see members for the first time ever? It is an all-female delegation that we have here. Quite a momentous occasion. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. The presentation... We were actually very much surprised that we are asked to come and present only the expenditure without looking at the performance. But it's fine. The presentation will cover the expenditure versus budget, or the budget versus expenditure as of the 31st of March 2013. This is what we have submitted to the Auditor General on the 31st of May and what is currently being audited. I think it's good to give background in terms of, before we go to the numbers, in terms of why we are in the situation that we are in, though we didn't want to find ourselves in the situation that we are in. In earlier presentation, I think throughout the financial year when we are doing presentations on the budget versus actual, we've presented sort of like two sets of numbers, the ones for the trading account and the ones for the department or the vote. National Treasury during the 2013 MTEF, they allocated the department an amount of 5.2 billion. Out of that 5.2, there was no money for allocated for printing of passport and all enabling documents, face value forms, all those. There wasn't any money allocated for that. It was agreed that the department will establish a trading account, which we duly complied and established that trading account. The trading account was covering both civic services products and immigration products. So all the revenue that we were going to collect for IDs, for birth, or BMD and passport and permits and all those revenue were going to then include it in the trading account. In the few presentations that we have done here, we've indicated how much revenue we have been collecting per each quarter. We will also show members how much have we collected in this current financial year. So the approval from National Treasury was obtained in 11-12, but we could only operationalize the trading account in 2012-13. And Treasury did agree to postpone the implementation to 12-13, and what they did in that financial, in 11-12 financial year, was to allocate, was to use a self-financing activity to allocate or to appropriate the money to us during the adjustment budget. That was like around 327 million specifically for the printing of passports. During the whole financial year, we were liaising with the National Treasury to agree, and this is based on the liaison that we had with the Auditor General and National Treasury, specifically the Office of the Accountant General, to say, what does this trading account mean? To us, it meant that it's money, the vehicle is just there for money that we're going to collect, and we're then going to defer that the expense which are agreed upon line items with the National Treasury. That's what we did. So we thought it's revenue and there's expenses which has been agreed with the Auditor General, with National Treasury. So we then got a letter from National Treasury which says these are the three line items that should be covered from that revenue. And it specifically said the printing costs, the printing of face value forms also included, and also the courier costs and the cash in transit. Those are line items that are directly incurred in generating that revenue. Though we know that you in generating the revenue, you are looking at employee costs, you are looking at the rent that you pay, all these other fixed costs like electricity, all those. The agreement was that those will not be covered by the trading account. It will be covered by the vote because the money has been appropriated. Towards the end of the financial year, in discussing the matter with the Auditor General, a number of challenges arose with the trading account. I'll just go through a few that really posed a big challenge. One was that according to the accounting standards or the interpretation of the Auditor General in terms of the accounting standards, they were saying that you need to have a matching principle. You cannot have expenses that are sitting in another entity, which will be the department, the vault, and you've got other expenses that are sitting in the trading account, and also you have this revenue that is sitting in the trading account. You are therefore not matching the expenses with the income that you have received. Though we were of the view that if National Treasury has specifically directed to say this money, you can use it for this specific thing, you can have it that way. So this posed a very significant challenge to the department, as the department do not have we cannot say in generating the revenue, these are the expenses that needs to be allocated to the trading account. That means that the vote will be left with nothing. You will have 5.2 billion that has been appropriated, but then the expenses, which will be the employee costs, especially for core business, civics, all the offices around the country will have to go to the trading account. And we didn't believe that will be appropriate for fair presentation. The other issue that the auditors raised was around the revenue, to say the revenue that we are generating, it meets the definition of services rendered in terms of the GRAP standards. That posed a bigger challenge, because then you need to say, how do I account for this revenue? It means that you account for it based on the stage of completion. So if you say an ID, you will have to then measure the different stages in terms of when you receive the application, when the application is sent to BVR for verification, when it's sent to GPW for the printing, when it's returned to BVR for the testing of of the photo. I mean, we do not have systems in place to do that. We are modernizing, systems are still coming, which will enable us to do that in the future. So that was one thing that poses a big challenge. So I think, just to summarize, We then approached Treasury. We wrote them a letter. We had a meeting with them to say the trading account that you recommended for us to establish, it's posing challenges. How do we deal with this? I mean, obviously they would have said you should have come earlier, all those things, but those things were only raised very late during the financial year between ourselves and the Auditor General. So we then, Treasury then wrote us a letter after the meeting that we had, which says that they are the trading account will then be disposed. We are not going to have the trading account anymore. The impact of that is that you've got expenses that you have incurred, and this expenses was around 286 million of expenses relating to the trading account specifically. So they agreed in that letter that we will defer the establishment of the trading account for at least 3 years, where we do thorough research, we agree between ourselves and the Auditor General and the people that come up with the accounting standards, how we're going to deal with the issues. So the result of this, of that trading entity not being established, is that you've got money that you have collected, which is around 687 million that we have indicated in the trading account as departmental revenue that we have received. That money that you have received, because the trading account does not exist anymore, you have to surrender that money to the National Revenue Fund so that it can be appropriated back to you. But then the budgeting process works in a different way. You can only get money through the appropriation bill, during the adjustment budget, and during the MTEF. So what it meant is that the 286 million will then have to go into our books as money that we have spent, and that would then mean that we will have an over expenditure because we didn't have any savings. Our savings was only, through the presentation, we'll be able to show members that the saving that we had was only from the wire money, where we had 214 million when we only spent 74 million of that. We had then had a difference of 140 million, which in any case you can't use because it was earmarked funds. So if we can then just go to the numbers themselves, we will be surrendering the 687 million. We will then be approaching this committee together with the SCOPA in terms of the overspending of around 160 million based on the trading account expenses that we had to bring into the department or the vote books. The next slide, which is slide 6, it just shows us what would have been the picture if the trading account was in existence. What it means is that the department was appropriated 5.2 billion. Out of that 5.2 billion, 1.6 billion was for administrative services, and then services to citizen was allocated 2.8 billion. Immigration was allocated 746 billion. Overall, we have spent 97.3% of our budget, and what was left was 140 million, which equates to 7%. And that is mainly the WIO money, as I've indicated before. The next slide then shows it reflects the expenditure as at 31st of March, when we've now taken the trading account expenses into account. So we will see that the department will then have an overspending of around 160 million. But the other issue that members should take note of is that in terms of accounting or the framework that we use to prepare financial statements, the unauthorized expenditure, the over expenditure is 160 million. But in order to calculate the unauthorized expenditure, you will have to take into consideration that you also used, technically you've used earmarked funds, which is the 140 million, to defray the trading account expenses. So
the unauthorized expenditure will actually be the whole 286 million, not only the 160 million. The next few slides just shows us per economy classification, per different areas or business units within Home Affairs, how we spend against the budget. So if we look at the economic classification, we had compensation of employees, 2.2 billion, and then we had actual expenditure of 2.1 billion, and that equates to 98% of the budget. And also, there was a savings there, and that's mainly due to posts not being filled timeously, which is a challenge, and we're trying to address every time. Goods and services, we had 1.8 billion. We spent 2.1 billion, and that's 12% over the budget, and that's mainly due to the trading account expenses that was brought in. If we look at the other elements, they are very low. There's not much of a percentage differences. So overall, what we are saying is that the department has overspent its budget by 3%. I think slide 9 just explains further what has happened. So the other issue is that the 140 million, we were going to ask for it as a rollover in the 13-14 financial year, but because you do not have the physical money in your bank to roll over, therefore you cannot even ask for a rollover of the 140. But Treasury has mentioned that they will appropriate this money in the outer years to cover the modernization, because we do have a contract and we do need to modernize Home Affairs. If we look, then we look at the program Citizen Affairs, because that whole amount of the trading account relate to mostly Citizen Affairs, that's why it has then overspent by 7% and Immigration Services by 11%. But also, I think Immigration Services, there are some of the expenses that are really not adequately budgeted for, and we have approached Treasury, especially on the APP. You're looking at a contract that is already signed, and per year or per annum, you need to spend around 150 million. But what is appropriated in the budget was only 50 million. And we had to then look at, because we had savings from the compensation of employees, we were able to defray some of those costs using those savings. We have then, during the financial year, what we have done, we have negotiated the contract with the APP people, and it has really reduced to around 100 million, but the services hasn't really reduced, but there are some terms and conditions that we have entered into where the APP contract will then come at a cheaper rate than what it was. This is when somebody is boarding a plane in wherever they are in a foreign country, we are able to check whether they are eligible to come into the country or not. And they were charging us per passenger. So it was a bit expensive, and now it's a fixed rate for a month. They would charge us a fixed rate rather than charging us per passenger, because you don't have controls over the movement of people. Also, the other issue is deportation. There's a huge increase in deportation, and also I think the cost of deporting the fuel is increasing, which means that the deportation costs will also increase. But also we need to meet our 30 days of keeping people at Lindela, and that will then means that we have to deport the people when they enter Lindela. There's also an issue that we are looking at in terms of the transportation of immigration officers, specifically at three ports of entry, where we are transporting them, I think, for almost all the shifts, but we should only transport them for one shift. So that's something that we have already spoken to the unions. We are dealing with that issue with the three ports of entry that I've mentioned. Overall, that means that the non-implementation of the trading account, it had a huge impact in the department, which we didn't want to see, because last year we had a saving last year, but this year now we're coming with an over expenditure, which doesn't really look good for the department, but there are valid reasons. If we then look at the sub-program, how the different sub-programs have spent, if you look at administration services, ministry spent 100% of their budget. Management services, which will be the DG's office and all the chief directories that report directly to him, they also spent 100% of their budget. Corporate services, also the same. Transversal IT management, which would have been the WIO money or the DH modernization money sitting, they then underspent by almost 29.6%, which anyway it was earmarked funds, but this is mainly due to the delay in signing the definitive agreement with Kijima and also the subcontracting agreement with both SARS and the Cubans. If we look at citizen affairs, there is the 7% over expenditure due to the trading account expenses coming through. And immigration, same, we've got 74 million due to those costs coming through. If we then look at the next few slides, if members allow, it just shows us per each branch in the department, like communication services, how did they spend the money that was allocated to them, counter-corruption and security, finance and supply chain, almost everybody has spent 100%. If we look at internal audit, which would be one that didn't really spend majority of the funds that was allocated to them, this is mainly due to some of the posts that were not filled during the financial year, and also they intended to go out on an outsourcing to help with the internal audit plan, and they couldn't do that as envisaged. Then if we look at legal services, there's also legal costs increased a lot during the financial year, and this is mainly because the way it works is that we approach justice to appoint the advocates, the advisors, but then what happened is invoices do not get to us on time. So we might be receiving an invoice of 2011 in 2013, and this is something that we are addressing with them, that we need to receive these invoices as and when they come, not a year later. So this is what has happened. But also, Not saying that we haven't had increase in cases. There have been increase in number of cases against the department which we needed to defend. If we look at slide 13, which would then be immigration services, I will not go into detail in terms of that, but I think the rest of the things are in line with the 74 million that they've overspent in. Then if we look at the provinces have relatively spent what was given to them, and besides Mpumalanga, who spent a bit more, and this was mainly due to the AFCON, and also due to the Easter, and the volumes of travelers did really increase during those times. And also we had people from defense that we have appointed, around 50 of them that were queue marshals at Lebombo. I think overall this is the presentation, Chair.
Thank you very much. I don't know why we didn't ask you to also present on the performance. performance, but we would have thought that you would have taken the initiative to do that anyway, you know. But thank you very much for the presentation, and honourable members, any questions? I see the hand of honourable Maduna Peterson, not Peterson Maduna, and then honourable Marcella. In that order, any other hands? No. Honourable Maduna Peterson.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you so much for the presentation you just gave. Although I'm a bit worried really about the issue of deportation, it's really a waste of money because the same people keep on coming back. It's really a worry. I don't know what's going to happen here. Because as far as I can see this, we're going nowhere with this. Anyway, I've got just, I think, two questions, Jay. The first one, are changes needed to ensure that quarterly underspending does not occur? That's the first one. And the second one, what impact did the reduction in overall budget have on implementation of services in provinces? Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Mkosela.
thank you, Chairperson. Mine is the transport that is used to transport officials to the border post. Now, when you're saying that it's something that you feel it's waste of money, to what extent have you managed to build facilities that will accommodate these individuals along the border post? I mean, when you go there, the conditions at times, Chair, are dire. Remember these people have, I remember the one in Northwest, somewhere to the very end, people didn't even have proper water. They said they actually relied on water that would be available today, tomorrow, not necessarily being available. So there are challenges in those areas which some people can't stay in those areas, depending on the people's health and obviously conditions in general. Now, if you do not have a service to transport them, how do you expect them to be there? Especially in the areas where in some of the ports of entry, there are no accommodation facilities. So I think it's something that whilst we talk about waste of money, we also need to understand that there's nothing that will compensate the availability of staff in those centers. In some instances, you get to the port of entry. I think it was Musina. Then when we went there one time, there was only one person who was available to assist members, and there were long queues. Now, the question might be attributed to a number of factors, but one of the factors is that if there's no accommodation, people don't have money every day to travel to these places. But again, I just need to get the rationale behind the explanation that the TDG was making so that at least you take us on board in confidence and ensure that we understand what you're trying to say to us. The next question, Chair, is the fact that here we're told that the reason why at times you tend to have a problem with legal services, over budgeting, in fact over expenditure, is that you're dealing with invoices submitted long after the services have been rendered. And you made an example that you just made now. How do you see this thing being dealt with properly? Do you think that the role of the Department of Justice should be something that you take it out of the system? Because you said that the Department of Justice is involved in the procurement of these services. Now, how do you see the unblocking of this problem, so that we can get rid of this problem completely? Because we don't want a situation where th- these are picked by the Auditor General, because this report that you have submitted now as of 31st of March, it's something that we're going to deal with at a later stage. And when it happens, we don't want a situation where we are told that it's a qualified opinion again, because we have spent money that should not have been spent elsewhere. The last one question, Chairperson. We remember the presentation that we had. We had a joint meeting, remember, with the Public Works and us with regard to infrastructure along the port of end. Has that been dealt with? There was this letter that was saying, no, I did not receive the letter. The DG was saying, I wrote you a letter. And this one was saying, no, I did not receive that letter. But I think the main issue here is, have you dealt conclusively to your satisfaction with the challenges regarding DPW on ensuring that the facilities are built on time, and what is the progress? Because in fact, that's what the chair was talking to, that if you don't have a performance report, then you can't even see what is the progress in such areas of expenditure. But perhaps you can share with us if you have any report on that. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Over to you, Siva. Was there another question? Let me just see. Sorry, Siva. No. Let me chair the meeting. Do you have a question, Honourable Portman? A comment. Please go ahead. Let's rather have all the questions.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I don't know why are we wasting time with this meeting. We last year we made mention that when these reports are being tabled before us, they should have a template that actually align these expenditures with the strategic plan, so that we know what we have done with these funds. And here it comes, there's nothing like that. So I would suggest that we really get those reports in that particular template that we proposed, because that's only when we're going to say, remember, we are making the department account. But if the department tells us the ministry was budgeted 26 million, 26 million is spent, we don't know on what. And we are saying we're making them account. To me, it's useless for us to sit here and just look at the figures. That does not say anything to us. So it is important that they go back and do the right thing, so that we are able to hold the department accountable. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. There doesn't seem to be more questions. Let me just comment on that quickly to say that I think we will have to accept the, if all members agree, the proposal from the Honourable Bothman, so that we can properly align these figures with the performance and strategic outcomes. So we'll have to reschedule or schedule another meeting at some point for that purpose, it does seem to me. And I think that's also what the CFO alluded to. Maybe the request to the department wasn't correctly worded, or whatever the case may be. But CFO, can you answer the questions, please?
Thank you. I'll start with Honorable Ngasela. If we look at the transport of immigration officials, you're only looking at three ports of entry here. And that's why it is a problem, because all those other ports of entry that you are mentioning, they are not covered. Only OR Tambo, King Shaka, and Cape Town International are covered, because they operate 24 hours. Those are the ones that are covered in the contract that we currently have. And we are saying that the agreement that was there with the union was that they will only be transported for shifts that start after 23 hours, which will be something that starts from 12 o'clock onwards, basically. And also, if we do it for three ports of entry, shouldn't we do it for all ports of entry, based on the challenges that you have mentioned? So that's something that, that's why we are now, we are not saying it's a waste of money per se, but we are saying it has to be, it has to cover all ports of entry or nothing else. The other issue relating to that, residential accommodation. That's why the previous minister went to Treasury and asked for money, which was appropriated of 400 million for the building of residential accommodation at the ports of entry. Last year, 110 million, which was for 12-13, was surrendered by Public Works back to National Treasury because they didn't spend it on our behalf. This year, what has happened is that that money has been allocated to Home Affairs. So in our budget, we've got, I think, an amount of 130 million that is allocated for border post infrastructure. But we understand that to build a house, it takes long. You still need to go back to Public Works to ask for permission to build, to identify a site, all those things. So DG has had several meetings with the new DG of Public Works to talk around this issue. But the minister has then even given an instruction to say we need to speak to the Minister of Public Works to say, is it not possible for this money that is allocated to us, for us to do it ourselves, rather than, you know, engaging Public Works in terms of where should we build, all those things. We can identify all those things and then just go to them and say, we have identified a place around Libombo for the building of houses there, and Maseru. So that's something that we are looking at in terms, and we know it's not going to take a year, because building a house will take longer. You still need to identify the sites. And the sites are more problematic than identifying a construction contractor, because you do have the money. So we've identified in the current financial year where we're going to start. We've identified Libombo, we've identified Maseru Bridge, our biggest ports of entry. We've identified Bait Bridge. So those three, we would like to have accommodation facilities as soon as possible, knowing that there are challenges, but that's what we are trying to do. I think it also answered the question of the infrastructure at the ports of entries and the DPW issues. Also, DPW these days, they've got a meeting every Monday where our Chief Director Property and Facilities, he attends a meeting with them to unblock all the challenges that we are having with them. So we've adopted an approach where we are, you know, we are very forward. We are communicating on a regular basis what are our challenges to them. If we look at the issue of the legal services, we are engaging Department of Justice in terms of this, because you can't really go and appoint your own lawyers and whatever. You have to go through the Department of Justice. So this is something that we still need to deal with. I haven't really put my mind to say how can we deal with this legal services issues. But we are engaging Department of Justice so that we get this at least on a regular basis, rather than getting the invoices at year end or after a year or so. The issue of deportation is also a concern to us. But that's why then the Border Management Agency will be able, we believe that with the establishment of the Border Management Agency, it will be able to assist, because then you've got control over your borders, and then the people that enters and the people that leave. So if that is strengthened, then we'll be able to see deportation. Maybe in the first few years it will increase, because you've got tight controls around your borders. There was an issue around the quarterly underspending. Josie, do you want to take that one?
Okay. Internally, the department has established a budget committee that is made up of all DDGs and all provincial managers. what we do on a quarterly basis, linked with the quarterly performance, we come together and we say, as a branch or as a province, this is the percentage you should be spending. For example, in quarter one, you should be spending 25% of your budget. If you haven't spent that, is there money that you want to declare as a saving within the department? We then take that savings and plug it, for example, against deportation or against APP to make sure that overall we spend in line with linear projections. So internally we do have mechanisms to say underspending or priorities that come up through the year, we do find funding to fund those items.
I think with regard to the reduction in budget, I think overall our budget really hasn't, other departments' budget were decreased, ours remained the same. The only line item that decreased was the DHA modernization, and that was because in the previous financial year we were settling the agreement with Gijima, and in the current financial year what happened is we were given 314 million, but during the adjustment budget we saw that we will not be able to spend the whole 314 million. We then declared as a saving 100 million, were then left with 214 million. So I think our budget really hasn't reduced, but there are some areas of the budget that maybe throughout the years they haven't been properly budgeted for. Like if you look at the provinces, this year what we have done is we put aside money specifically for Easter and festive season, because that's when you need more people at the border post to assist with the queues and the movement of the people during that period. So as she's mentioned, we look, the budget committee then look at all our needs, and that operational needs to make sure that an office can function, a port of entry can function, and that's what we've tried to do for 13-14 going forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The Honourable Bothman has another question. Anyone else? I see Honourable Matebe.
No, Chair, I still insist. I don't know what we are doing now, but whatever that has been done there, that's what should have been in the report in terms of the template. We wouldn't be asking these questions. So I see ourselves agreeing that we need to do the right thing, but we continue as if nothing has happened. So to me, I would say we need to adjourn. Let the department do the right thing, because we keep on postponing. There are many things that are in this thing that would show that whatever we said last year was never considered. And I don't want to go into that. I'm simply requesting, humbly so, can the department go and do the right thing so that we account for a product that we said we want to achieve as the department? Rather than talking about figures, I don't know what have we achieved out of this discussion. There's nothing we can say the department has done.
No, we take your point, Honorable Bothman, and we have already decided that the department will have to, please put off your mic. We have already decided that the department will indeed incorporate this, and I think to an extent we also are, allowing questions, but there are not many questions because of exactly the problem that you've indicated. But I am going to allow the Honourable Mateba, there aren't any more hands, and then we will request that question to be answered and the department then to go back and to do exactly what you have indicated. Honourable Matebe.
Thank you, Chairperson. That's my concern. From 2011, 12, 13, we've been playing this scratch city in terms of filling the post of the... I said that's my concern from 2011, 2012, 2013 regarding the issue of filling the post. If you still remember, we talk about that. Every meeting we had this thing of when are you going to fill the post of the management and so forth, the administration part of it. And second, this question of this deporting issues.
I actually don't understand how the department knows whom to deport, when and how, whereas they don't have a number of the people who are here. That's my concern. I usually ask that, but I don't have any answer from department. Thank you.
Chief, can you just answer that, and then we are going to follow the advice of Honorable Bothman and ask you to, link up and align the expenditure with performance, and we'll have to reschedule.
I do take Honorable Bothman's concern. That was our concern, to say understandably so, that our template might not give the details, but the performance will give you the details to say what did we spend the money on. So that was not asked from the letter that we received. It says expenditure. And that's why we then tried through our IGR to say, doesn't it sound strange, because majority of the time we have to talk about the performance and the expenses at the same time. If we look at the question of the filling of posts, there are issues in terms of delegations, which we have dealt with now. So all the positions had to come to head office to be filled. Now what we have done, we've decentralized that. So we've appointed people in the provinces who are dealing with the HR functions, and we've also delegated from level up to level 8. It's now delegated to the provincial manager. So majority of the posts are within that range. The clerks in the different offices, or the front office clerks and the administrators, all those will now be done at the provincial level, and we are seeing an increase in the number of posts being filled. The second question around the deportation, we do know how many people need to be deported, because we need to know how many people are at Lindela at a specific time. Because they need to, from a contractual point of view, with the service provider that runs Lindela, it's charged per number of people that are at Lindela. So we do know that, and also we do know how many people have been at Lindela for how many days. We've got a system that tracks that for us. So yes, there's an increase in people that are getting to Lindela, and that needs to be deported.
Thank you very much. I think that there was clearly a bit of miscommunication, but in future also, when you get a request that is unclear to you, it would be advisable, I think, to try and clear it up and to do inquiries as far as that is concerned. So what we will do is, thank you to the department, thank you to the members who participated in today's meeting. What we will do is to ask you then to align the expenditure with the performance, and we will schedule another meeting for that purpose. Thank you, members. I think we have come to the end of this meeting. The meeting is adjourned. Please remember what I requested, that all of us are on time following the plenary tomorrow afternoon. What is the venue again? M514, following the plenary. Thank you.